This morning, we'll begin the first of a four-part series on the subject of prayer. If you haven't noticed by now, I don't jump into a long sermon series very often, but this is a subject that deserves a chunk of our time and attention together. You see, prayer is more than just something we do, isn't it? Prayer is intended to be a way of life. Way of life. There are many aspects of prayer that we could discuss together, but we're just going to take a look at one a week over the next 4 weeks in our time together. This morning, if you look in your bulletins there, if you open that up, you'll see that the title of our message this morning is Let's Get Personal. Let's Get Personal. With the P in pray standing, of course, isn't this so clever, for the word personal. Speaking of personal, we would like for you guys, whether you're a member or a visitor, we'd like you to become personally involved with this series. We've started a prayer meeting every Sunday morning right in this place. We had one this morning. Next week, we're going to do it again. We'd like to invite everybody to come back and join us for that. Also, a new small group is being coordinated. See Gerald Hall for more info on that. And this small group is going to be sort of a companion series to the next month of sermons. And we're hoping that you'll take advantage of this small group opportunity. It's actually the first small group we've had in a little while. That's going to start Sunday evening, next evening. So if you've got kids, K through 12, we'd like to encourage you. We tried to be very convenient about this. Bring them to youth group for evening of youth group, and then go on to the study, and we promise we'll give the kids a good time while you're at the study. Why are we talking about it so much right now? Why is it coming up so much? Why are we doing so much at Ferris Church of Christ that revolves around this subject? Well, 2 Chronicles 7:14, Matthew 21:13, we're called to be a people of prayer. That's a simple answer. We're called to be a people of prayer. That's why. The question being, why? Why must we get personal in prayer, if you will? Well, if you turn with me to 1 John 5:14-15, that we'll have it on the screen. It's also going to be in your insert, in your bulletin. You can pull that out and take some notes this morning if you want to. The Apostle John has this to say. He's speaking of the Lord here, of course, when he says him. Let's read this together. 1 John 5:14-15. It says this: "And this is the confidence that we have toward him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us in whatever we ask, we know that we have the requests that we have asked of him." Well, if this sounds personal, it is. If this sounds personal from this, it is personal. And we're going to talk about a few ways. Let's talk about three ways this morning about how that word prayer, an acronym, personal, first letter. Number one, prayer involves us as individual believers in Jesus. Personal. Prior to this, if you look in your text in verse 13, John writes this. He says, "I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life." So this is you, 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 this is me. In Jesus, we can and we need to get personal with him. And I think we struggle with that. I think we do. I think we struggle with that as individuals. It seems like too often we're quick to give God lip service without heart service. Lip service without heart service. Are we guilty of this? You know, when I was a kid, my mom would tell me this. She'd tell me, "Make sure you say a prayer before you eat a meal, or else you'll get a stomachache." She's not here, so I can confess this to you guys. She used to say that to me when I was a kid. Seriously, make sure you say a prayer before you eat a meal or else you'll get a stomach ache. Have you guys heard this before or was it just, okay. I'm glad nobody else. So to this day, I hurry as quick as I can through my thank you for this food, amen, just so I don't get a stomach ache from eating 3 whole racks of barbecue ribs. That's the secret, folks. But I'm kidding, of course, but do we struggle with this lip service thing so that we don't get a stomach ache, in a way? Writer and minister Andrew Murray once said, prayer depends chiefly, almost entirely, on who we think we are praying to. Who we think we are praying to. When we pray, do we have confidence? Confidence in approaching God, maker of the universe, as individuals? Do we have confidence that we are actually going to Acts 4:24, the sovereign Lord who made the heaven and the earth and the sea and everything in them? Or are we just going through some motions? Do we just go through some motions with our mouths while our hearts are saying, que sera, sera? Does anybody remember what that means? Yep. Prayer is personal. Prayer is personal. I was teasing my mother a minute ago, but there is something that she used to say to me. If it had been too long since I had called her on the phone back home, she'd say, well, I haven't seen hide nor hair of you. I haven't seen hide nor hair of you. Have you heard that one before? Which, you know, I always thought that was a good thing since I was still alive and breathing when she would say that. I mean, you know, instead of having my hide and my hair all over her lawn, I mean, the alternative is that I've got it with me, you know? But I'm wondering, how long do we go without calling home and talking to the one who made each individual hair? I don't have a lot right now, but each individual hair and the hide on our bodies. Don't we think if God made that hide, made that hair, from time to time, he might want to know how it's getting along on the person to whom he attached it? 1 Peter 5:7, cast all your anxieties on him because he cares for you. The Bible says he does care. He does care. Personally, you know, just like your mother, just like your father, but infinitely greater than. Who do we think we have the option of praying to? Almighty God of heaven and earth, right? Why don't we come to him personally? Personally. I love how Jesus tells us in the 6th chapter of Matthew, verses 6 to 13. You might jot this scripture down in your notes if you're taking some notes. This is important here, this scripture. You know, it's what we call the Lord's Prayer. You know, he tells us to come to our Father, personal. Go to him, shut the door, pray to him on our own, secretly, personally. Jesus says we'll be spiritually rewarded. That's a promise. Spiritually rewarded for seeking the Father in personal prayer. So we're not going through motions. We're not heaping up empty words as Jesus has described here in verse 7. But you know what we're acknowledging? We're acknowledging that verse 8, God knows what you need before you ask him. That's a big acknowledgement. And that's why this section of scripture in Matthew 6, 6 to 13, it hits it on the head for us so well on how we can pray. Do you remember walking into maybe a bookstore a few years back? And I love this series of books just from the title. Do you remember the series of books, the Dummies and the Complete Idiot's Guide books? You know, as in Windows for Dummies and, you know, the Complete Idiot's Guide to Snowboarding. Never read that one myself, but Matthew 6, 9 to 13 is basically individual personal prayer for dummies, or the Complete Idiot's Guide to Individual Personal Prayer, of which I have been the greatest, to quote Paul, at least one point in my life anyway. But we don't need to stay ignorant about prayer because Jesus has taught us how. He's taught us how to pray right here. His example, what is it? It's personal. It's forthcoming. It bears all, doesn't it? It's the Son talking to the Father, completely honest, not pulling any punches. But too often we try to dress things up for God when we pray or ignore Him altogether. And honestly, I'm not sure which is worse. You and I can be confident that He is a personal God who gave you and gave me the gift of eternal life through His Son, Jesus. So why don't we approach that throne a little more as His children with confidence? Because it involves me. And it involves you, and so on. Individuals. That's big. And secondly, prayer is personal in that it involves a group. It involves a group of people. And you might be sitting there asking, well, how can it be personal if it's involving more than one person? Well, here's how. Because Jesus has promised us that He Himself, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, has a personal interest in being present in a group of praying people. Do you realize that? He's personally interested in that. That's up His alley. Matthew 18:20, Jesus says, "For where two or three are gathered in My name, there am I among them." And so John the Apostle writes in our text today, 1 John, the confidence we have, and that if we ask and He hears us, and if we know and whatever we ask. And there's one more in there, that we have the request that we have asked of Him. So you can go through with a pencil, if you like, in your handout or in your Bible, like my wife does, and highlight or circle the word "we" every time you come to it in this section of Scripture. I think that's important. We. There's an awful lot of times it's used there. John is writing to you in verse 14, not just individuals, but to groups. This is the value, not just in a corporate worship service where we come together and we pray, but also in having a prayer gathering or a meeting like we had this morning. As we carry each other's burdens, we fulfill the law of Christ, Galatians 6:2. And where there is prayer, gathered prayer, in a prayer meeting, if you will, there is unity, which Jesus prayed so fervently for His followers to have, John 17:23. Praying with each other, believers can witness God produce miracles and change hearts. You know, at Ferris Church of Christ, we have this phone tree, a prayer chain system. This system, we strive to keep it updated. And we do this, we also put the updates out there on the Facebook group. These needs, they've been publicly announced within. They've been sometimes announced out of the congregation. But what about all those unspoken prayer requests that you may have out there this morning? You know, I encourage you to get signed up for phone tree updates if you haven't already. I encourage you to get connected that way or on our Facebook group. But what about the unspoken prayer requests? Do you have a group of trusted brothers, trusted sisters you can call to carry each other's burdens and fulfill the law of Christ? Do you have that? If you don't have that, I'd like to encourage you to join us, our prayer meeting, next Sunday morning at 8:45. And if you do have that, I'd like to encourage you to come to our prayer meeting next Sunday morning at 8:45. Because we're going to bear each other's burdens. We're going to bear the burdens of the body together personally, as James 5:16 tells us to do. Prayer's personal. It's personal. And it's done from the individual, and it's done through the body in unity. Because where two or three are gathered, he is there. Have you heard people use the expression prayer warrior? Has that come up? Have you heard that one before? What this means is engaging in the spiritual battle, fighting the good fight of faith, wearing the full armor of God, as Paul puts it, praying at all times in the Spirit, with all prayer and supplication. He goes on, for all the saints, in Ephesians 6, 17, and 18. God intends us to be in prayer warriors for each other. So you know, while we're at it, we might as well be in battle together. We might as well be doing this together. You know, some people talk about God is on our side. God's on our side. We've got God on our side. You hear this? You hear this often, a lot of times when it's politically to say that God's on our side. Politically convenient to say this. In this fight, I want to be on God's side. I want to be on God's side. His side is one of a heart for people. Heart for people. You can't get any more personal than that. So I'd like to encourage you all, make every provision you can to join the body in prayer. Join the body in prayer together. 8:45, 10:30, worship. Finally, this morning, prayer is personal. It's personal because it involves God's will to us. God's will. This might be the part that is difficult from our text. You know, if you keep up with what we do on Facebook, if you followed any of my posts, you'll know I often like to say, this is important. I'll put that out there from time to time. This is important. You know, like a secret bootleg copy of the Coca-Cola recipe. This is important. I'll put that out there, and I'll say that, you know, because that's important to me. But let's read our text again, because the part involving God's will, this is important. This is very important. Let's read this verse one more time. This is the confidence that we have toward him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us in whatever we ask, we know that we have the requests that we have asked of him. You know, prayer about making that business deal next week, prayer about that family situation that you're going through, prayer about selling that house, asking God to make these things happen because I want them to happen, doesn't mean a thing. Asking God that his will be done in these situations, now we're talking. Now we're talking. That song, If It Be Your Will, a little bit ago. If it be your will that a voice be true, from this broken hill I will sing to you. From this broken hill all your praises they shall ring. If it be your will to let me sing. This is not so much the secret, but rather the crux of the scripture. Or if you will, the cross of the Bible. Jesus, Luke 22, 42, cried out in prayer in the Garden of Gethsemane. This is probably my favorite part of the entire Bible, Jesus in the garden, before he goes to the cross. This part blows my mind every time I read it. Jesus crying out in prayer in the Garden of Gethsemane, Father, if you are willing, remove this cup from me. That's what Jesus would have had done there. Then he goes on, nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. Wow. The Son of God, at his most vulnerable moment, right before his surrender to the cross, had confidence in the will of the Father. The Son trusted the Father even to the point of death. Why can't we trust the Father with our lives? With that business transaction, with that family situation, with that property we want sold, with that argument we keep having with our spouse. Why can't we do that? Barnes Notes on the Bible comments this, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. This is the proper and the necessary limitation in all prayer. God has not promised to grant anything that shall be contrary to his will, and it could not be right that he should do it. We ought not to wish to receive anything that should be contrary to what he judges to be best. No man could hope for good who should esteem his own wishes to be a better guide than the will of God. Than the will of God. That hurts. That's not always easy. I'll tell you from experience. Personal confession for you. October of 1990, I was 10 years old. Around this time, I said a few prayers or two. I said a few prayers that my dad, who'd been sick with cancer, would be healed entirely, be able to get up out of that bed, be able to join us. In January of 1991, my dad went to be with the Lord. I wasn't very happy about that. I wasn't very happy about that situation for many, many years. I can think now to a time, I can remember a time now when Jesus Christ kneeled in the garden and personally said to the Father, "Your will be done." That jumps out at me now a little bit more. But for many years, it was a little difficult for me to do that. It was a little difficult for me to do that. You know, one commentator on our text notes that the original Greek, which we have translated, this is the confidence. You see that there in the English that we have towards him. It's not translated, "Here arises a happy spirit." In our prayer lives, in our prayer relationships, God's not going to just throw us a bone when we bark at him no matter how badly we want that bone, no matter how much it may hurt if we don't get it. You know what happens here? God is looking for us to depend on him more and more every day as the maker. That's the goal. That's the point. Depending on him. When we come to God time and time again, no matter the circumstances, no matter what is happening in our lives, no matter the outcomes of things, we will grow in confidence toward him. We will find that it's not about the requests. No matter how much we want those requests to come true. It's not about those requests themselves that we bring to the Father. What it's about is our continued acknowledgement that the Father is who he is by giving up what we want, by giving up what we think best for what he knows is best. You know who's done that before us? Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Getting personal, it's going to sting from time to time. It's just going to. This is a broken world, but I think we'll find that in the sting, I think we'll find that in the surrender, we'll be reminded of who the real enemy is. Who the real enemy is. I don't know if you were part of the group here a few weeks back. We had a group a few weeks back, went and, together and saw the movie War Room. It's an excellent, excellent film. If you didn't get a chance to see that with the group that went, hopefully you'll be able to catch that on your own. I think we all had a wonderful time going to that film. This film gave an excellent portrayal of the kind of personal prayer that John speaks of. Prayer is individual, it's unified, and it resonates with God's will. And I won't give away the entire movie, just in case you haven't seen it yet. But just briefly, you know, one character in the movie, she has this special closet that she goes in, she's dedicated this space to prayer. Now, just so you know, I don't remember all this. I don't have this great of a mind. I've used the internet. I've borrowed Wikipedia, which is the best source on the internet. And it's so scholarly, you know. Just don't tell your professors at school that you're using Wikipedia because they'll kick you out of the class. But, you know, in this film, the character, the elderly Miss Clara, tells another character about the closet. In order to stand on your feet and fight the enemy, you need to get on your knees and pray. You need to get on your knees and pray. The second character, Elizabeth Jordan, finds herself in her own war room of sorts in prayer. And she finds that getting on her knees in prayer actually changes not just her life, but the lives of her family And then there's this ripple effect, and it even goes out into the community around her. It's a really incredible film. Filmmakers Alex and Stephen Kendrick got their inspiration, ideas for the film from prayer themselves. And what I was reminded of the most that evening after leaving the theater was this. Not so much that prayer was something that I should do as a good Christian, or because I believe in God and I pray to him, or because I'm a fan of the person of Jesus, so I want to copy what he does in a real slight way. But prayer is something that I must do. It's not something I should do. It's something I must do. Prayer is something I must do. As one commentator puts it, prayer should not be seen as our means of getting God to do our will on earth. Prayer should be seen as a means of getting God's will done on earth. Prayer is important. Speaking of movies, do you remember Jaws? Killer Shark? That's going back a couple years, I know. Jaws only had about 18 sequels, you know. Sometimes they'll show them all in a row. And it's, you know, 3 or 4 days spent watching the shark, you know. Once upon a time, we had Jaws and we had 18 sequels. One of them, Jaws the Revenge, had this tagline. And, you know, you could just hear the guy on the commercial, the guy with a real deep voice doing it, you know. He'd come on for the movie preview, Jaws the Revenge, this time it's personal. Remember those advertisements? When it comes to our prayer lives, on our knees in our prayer closet, or in a group at a prayer meeting, we're praying the Lord's will be done. Let's make it a time that's personal. A time that's personal. This time and every time. Every time. In fact, will you join me in prayer now? Lord, we thank you that you have shown us how to stay tapped into you. Lord, we know it's been said that prayer is not so much talking to you as it is listening. And I pray, Lord, that will ring true for us, that we will grow in being people of prayer. Lord, we know we live in a world of a million distractions every day. And under all the noise, there's a small voice, Lord, and it's yours. And it desires to change us and move us and make us holy. And Lord, I pray that we will hit the floor. We will hit our knees. We'll get rid of the distractions around us and the world around us that is screaming for our attention. And that we'll get past any ritualism or any liturgy or any way we've been trained to do church. And that we'll get personal with you. Lord, you've gotten personal with us. Each person in this room you love, each person in this room you would will that would be with you for eternity. But Lord, each person in this room we know must make a personal choice for you for eternity. And Lord, I just pray at this time that any that does not know you, that have not been immersed in you, that have not begun that walk in communion with you, that they would decide, I'm giving my whole person up today. And Lord, I pray for everyone here today that we would all strive to desire to know you a little bit better. Lord, I pray for the body, I pray for the church, that we would come together, Lord, because where two or three gather, there you are. Move our hearts, draw us closer to you. May your Spirit fill us. It is in Jesus' name I pray these things. Amen. You know, it's funny because I was kind of joking a little bit there about sequels, but we're going to have a sequel next week, actually. We're going to have sequels for the next 3 weeks on this series on Pray with P-R-A-Y. Next week, we're going to talk about the second letter, and you'll have to come back and find out what that is. I'm not going to give that away yet, but we hope you'll join us next week as we continue our series on prayer and why prayer is the very root of all we do. Will you please stand? We're going to sing our invitation hymn, Are You Washed in the Blood? And if you have a public decision to make, we hope you'll come forward and do that today.